Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 4.1 Foundations of AI Ethics and Responsible Technology Use.
Glad to be here.
And if you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Absolutely.
Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. Because, I mean, let's just face the reality of our digital lives right now.
Right.
Artificial intelligence systems are no longer just background noise.
Not at all.
They aren't just, you know, novelties we play with on the weekend. They are actively influencing business decisions, shaping our daily recommendations, drafting our communication, and really filtering our access to information.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
So our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how to actually navigate this landscape ethically and responsibly.
And, you know, without getting overwhelmed, setting the right tone for this is just so crucial.
Oh, for sure.
Because when we talk about ethical AI, the default reaction for a lot of professionals is, well, it's anxiety.
Yeah, people panic.
Exactly. They hear ethics and AI in the same sentence and assume the conversation is about fearing the future or preparing for some dystopian sci-fi scenario.
Like robots taking over.
Right. But it isn't. This is about ensuring that a profoundly powerful technology is actually utilized to support fairness, responsibility, and human well-being.
Which is a much better way to look at it.
It really is. It is a proactive approach to modern work rather than a reactive one.
Yeah, and I think we need a better way to conceptualize the danger of ignoring this, because people used to compare using AI without ethics to driving a sports car with the blindfold on.
I've heard that one, yeah.
But that implies you are still the one driving.
Right.
Deploying powerful AI systems without an ethical framework is, you know, it's more like putting a brick on the gas pedal of an autonomous vehicle that hasn't mapped the local roads yet.
Oh, wow.
You're moving incredibly fast, which feels productive, but you've surrendered control to an engine that doesn't actually comprehend what a pedestrian is.
That is a terrifying image.
Right. You have velocity, but zero contextual awareness.
And that is a much more accurate representation of the risk. Velocity without context. I mean, the speed of the output. Whether it's generating a report or analyzing a massive data set, it's entirely irrelevant if the system is quietly veering off a cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
And this bridges the gap between the abstract definition of AI ethics and the tangible stakes for you, the listener. Because if these systems are embedded in decisions happening left and right, we have to look systematically at what occurs when those decisions fail.
And they do fail. The source materials for this lesson outline some really severe negative outcomes of ignoring ethical awareness.
They do?
We aren't just talking about a chatbot giving you a weird recipe for pancakes.
No. Yep.
We are talking about unfair decisions, systemic discrimination, the mass spread of misinformation, the misuse of sensitive personal data, and overall just harmful societal outcomes.
These are highly practical, real-world impacts. When the materials mention unfair decisions or discrimination, they're referring to systems that dictate people's actual livelihoods.
Yes.
Like, consider a large corporation using an AI screening tool to filter, say, thousands of job applications.
Which happens all the time now.
All the time. If that system is tossing out highly qualified candidates based on flawed parameters.
Oh, man.
Or recommending medical treatments based on biased historical data, the fallout is devastating and immediate.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to push back on the terminology a little bit here.
Sure.
It is very easy for us to say, you know, the AI is being discriminatory, but aren't these systems ultimately just complex lines of code?
I mean, yes.
Like, code is neutral. It doesn't possess a personal prejudice or a vendetta against anyone. So how does a machine actually learn to become discriminatory?
Yeah, that is the core technical misconception we need to dismantle right now. You are entirely correct that lines of code do not wake up with personal prejudice.
Right.
The issue lies in the mechanism of how these systems learn. Machine learning models require massive amounts of human-generated data to function.
They need examples.
Exactly. They are essentially giant pattern-matching engines. If a company feeds an AI 10 years of their historical hiring data to teach it what a successful candidate looks like, well, the AI doesn't evaluate the morality of that data.
It just looks for the mathematical correlation.
Precisely. If, historically, that company predominantly hired and promoted men, the algorithm mathematically weighs words associated with male resumes.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, perhaps words like fraternity or football as strong predictors of success.
Oh, wow.
Conversely, it mathematically downgrades words like sorority or women's chess club.
The machine didn't invent sexism.
No.
It inherited a historical human bias from the data set and codified it as a strict mathematical rule for future success.
So it's not some evil robot with an agenda.
Not at all.
It is a highly efficient mirror, basically reflecting our own historical blind spots right back at us, just operating at a million miles an hour.
That's a perfect way to phrase it. And this is why ethical awareness is the only safeguard. Without it, the technology simply amplifies our existing flaws at scale.
Right.
To counter this, the field of AI ethics relies on four foundational pillars: fairness, responsibility, transparency, and human impact.
Okay, four pillars, got it.
By actively integrating these four concepts into how we design and deploy tools, we remove the blind spots. We transition from a state of constant risk into one of tangible benefit.
So it's not just about avoiding bad things.
Exactly. We get responsible decision-making, we cultivate trust with our clients, we establish clear accountability, and we build what the materials actually call a deep professional awareness.
I really want to focus heavily on that professional awareness, especially for the end user.
Let's do it.
Because the listener tuning in right now probably isn't coding a neural network from scratch today, right?
Probably not.
But they are absolutely using these tools to do their jobs. The materials provide some core strategies for everyday users. Think critically about recommendations, consider the human impact, verify information before acting, and use systems transparently.
Those four strategies sound really straightforward on paper, but implementing them requires a fundamental shift in how we interact with software.
How so?
Well, we have been conditioned for decades to trust computers.
Yeah.
If a calculator gives you a sum, you don't run the numbers again by hand to check its work.
No, of course not. You just trust it.
Right. But AI is fundamentally different from a calculator.
Which brings us to a really uncomfortable dilemma. Here's where it gets really interesting. We get fed AI recommendations constantly.
Constantly.
It predicts what articles we should read, it drafts our emails, it summarizes our meetings. These tools are designed by the smartest engineers on the planet to feel completely seamless and frictionless.
Yes.
But the strategy you are outlining requires us to actively question those seamless outputs. How do you practically start doing that when it's so smooth?
By recognizing that seamlessness is actually a vulnerability.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the frictionless design lulls you into passive acceptance. Responsible technology use demands that you actively intervene in that process.
Mm.
You essentially have to manufacture your own friction.
Manufacture friction.
Exactly. When an AI drafts a sensitive client email for you or suggests a strategic business decision, you must intentionally break the flow. You stop and ask, is this factually accurate? Does this tone represent my professional values? Is this fair to the person receiving it?
I have to play devil's advocate here, though.
Go for it.
Manufacturing friction feels completely counterintuitive to why we adopt these tools in the first place. The whole selling point of AI is efficiency.
True.
If I use a tool to summarize a 30-minute meeting, and then I have to spend 30 minutes fact-checking every single bullet point against the recording, I haven't saved any time. I've just given myself a new, really annoying chore.
It is a fair critique, and it highlights why professional awareness is so nuanced. Manufacturing friction doesn't mean you interrogate every single mundane output with the exact same intensity.
Okay, so there are levels to it.
Right. It is about evaluating the stakes. If you were using AI to generate ideas for a team lunch spot.
Who cares, right?
Exactly. The stakes are virtually zero, no friction required. But if you were using it to summarize a critical legal meeting or, draft a performance review, the stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah, totally different ballgame.
In those moments, you have to understand a concept often referred to in the industry as hallucination.
Let's define that, because hallucination gets thrown around as a buzzword a lot lately.
It does. In the context of large language models, a hallucination isn't the AI, actively lying to you. A language model is essentially an extremely sophisticated version of autocomplete.
Okay.
It just predicts the most mathematically probable next word in a sequence. Sometimes it predicts a sequence of words that sounds incredibly confident, grammatically perfect, and entirely fabricated.
Wait, really? It just makes things up.
Oh, absolutely. It will invent statistics, forge historical dates, or create fake academic citations simply because those words mathematically fit the pattern of the prompt you gave it.
Okay, that makes the friction argument much more compelling. You aren't checking the math to see if 2 + 2 = 4.
No.
You are checking to see if the AI confidently invented a completely fictional reality just because it sounded good?
Exactly. And that leads perfectly into how this applies in collaborative professional environments.
Mm.
Friction
when you are alone at your desk is one thing.
Right.
But what happens when you introduce these tools into a team dynamic where your professional credibility is actually on the line?
Yeah, the lesson materials provided a fantastic real-world case study about a student team to illustrate exactly this. And I think it perfectly captures the tension of modern digital work.
It really does.
In a lot of offices and universities right now, there is a weird kind of unspoken stigma around AI. People use it to do the heavy lifting, but they hide it.
Yes, the secrecy.
They pass the work off as entirely human because they want to appear naturally hyperproductive.
It is the illusion of effortless competence. But the student team in the case study took the exact opposite approach.
They did. This team managed to significantly improve the overall credibility and quality of their final project, and they didn't do it by hiding their tools.
No, they owned it.
Yeah, they clearly and explicitly identify exactly which parts of their project were aided by AI. Furthermore, they documented how they independently verified every single piece of AI-generated information.
What's fascinating here is that this specific case study models the ideal future workplace.
Right.
By embracing transparency, they completely neutralized the stigma. They demonstrated that in a digitally enabled future, professional credibility doesn't come from pretending you don't use AI.
Because everyone knows you probably are.
Exactly. Credibility comes from demonstrating that you know how to rigorously manage and verify the AI you use.
It really makes me think of managing personnel. Using generative AI for a major professional project is remarkably similar to managing an incredibly fast, highly enthusiastic, but wildly overconfident intern.
That is a great analogy. An intern who never sleeps and occasionally hallucinates data to keep you happy.
Exactly that. I mean, this intern can generate a brilliant first draft in 4 seconds. They can pull together broad research across 50 domains instantly.
Sure.
But you would never, ever take a highly technical report from an intern you just met, slap your own name on the cover page, and slide it across your CEO's desk without checking their work.
You wouldn't. Because if that report contains a fabricated metric or a hallucinated legal precedent,
the CEO is not going to fire the intern.
The CEO fires you.
Yep. Which brings us directly to the core ethical question of liability. Who is actually on the hook when the technology fails?
The lesson explicitly defines this as the golden rule of accountability. Humans remain responsible for decisions made using AI systems.
Always.
It is the absolute bedrock of responsible technology use. An AI system can analyze a million data points to support a decision. It can even graph the rationale for a decision. But software cannot take accountability for a decision. You cannot put an algorithm on a witness stand, and you cannot sanction a language model for a breach of contract.
So the liability does not shift to the software. The buck stops entirely with the human operator.
Always. And to help users operationalize this, the lesson includes a practical application activity. It is a systematic framework for evaluating any AI tool before you actually deploy it.
Okay, let's walk through that.
First, you identify the possible ethical concerns, like, could this tool produce biased results? Second, you identify the affected groups who will actually suffer if this output is wrong.
The human impact.
Right. Third, you weigh the potential benefits against those risks. And finally, you define the responsible usage practices for that specific scenario.
So what does this all mean? If humans are permanently accountable and the risks of hallucination and bias are mathematically ingrained in the system,
yeah,
should we just be terrified of this tech? Does this mean we should be hesitant to use AI for anything that actually matters?
Not at all. If we connect this to the bigger picture, accountability is not synonymous with fear. In fact, fully grasping your accountability is empowering.
Empowering? How so?
When you recognize that the final decision rests with you, you stay engaged in the process. It ensures that fairness and human impact remain the final, unbypassable filter.
You don't just tune out.
Right. It gives you the professional confidence to look at an AI recommendation and say, the data suggests we take this aggressive action, but my human judgment and our ethical standards dictate we take a more measured approach. It keeps you firmly in the driver's seat.
We keep the blindfold off and our hands stay on the wheel.
Exactly.
So let's translate this empowering mindset into our actual daily digital tool sets. The materials specifically highlight tools like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, and Microsoft Copilot.
The big ones.
Yeah. These platforms are essentially becoming the new Microsoft Office suite. They're a standard issue. So how do we practically integrate ethical awareness into our workflow with these specific platforms?
We have to move beyond treating all AI tools as a single monolith and start developing specific habits for success. The materials advocate for actionable learning practices. Let's take transparency first. If you use ChatGPT or Gemini to help structure a complex project proposal or to draft a challenging piece of communication, normalize disclosing it.
But what does that actually look like in an email or a report without sounding really strange?
It doesn't require a massive legal disclaimer. It can be a simple sentence in the footer. Initial draft generated with the assistance of Gemini, reviewed and finalized by the author.
No, that's easy.
Or in a meeting, simply stating, I use ChatGPT to help consolidate our brainstorming notes from last week. Just like the student team we talked about, this simple acknowledgement builds immense trust with your colleagues.
Yeah, it signals that you are resourceful, but also honest.
Exactly.
Okay, so that covers the transparency habit. What about the verification habit, especially with tools integrated directly into our workspaces, like Microsoft Copilot?
With integrated tools like Copilot, the risk profile changes slightly. You aren't just querying the open internet. Copilot is often summarizing your specific internal emails, Teams meetings, and spreadsheets.
So it knows your business.
Right. The danger here is a loss of critical context. If you use it to summarize a highly contentious one-hour meeting, do not just forward that summary to the entire department blindly. Build the reflex to spot-check the source material.
Because it might summarize the what of the meeting perfectly, but completely miss the tone or the nuance of an unresolved disagreement.
Precisely. You have to verify the commitments, the dates, and the nuances. The goal is to develop a deep professional awareness where these ethical checks, evaluating context, verifying facts, declaring usage, they just become second nature.
Just part of the workflow.
Right. It should feel as routine as running a spell check before hitting send.
It's really about building new digital muscles. For the last 20 years, we trained ourselves to trust the red squiggly line under a misspelled word.
We did.
Now we are being asked to develop a completely new internal checking mechanism for logic, fairness, and factual reality. It requires much more cognitive effort, but it's the only way to survive the transition.
And like any muscle, the more you practice these actionable learning techniques, the stronger and more natural that reflex becomes.
Which brings us to the wrap-up of our deep dive today. We've covered a massive amount of ground here, from the mathematical mechanisms of bias to the necessity of targeted friction.
The overconfident intern analogy.
Yes, the intern. And of course, the undeniable rule of human accountability.
It is a complex web of concepts, but it is foundational knowledge for anyone navigating the realities of modern digital workflows.
It really is. To bring all of this together, the lesson leaves us with a powerful final reflection prompt, and I want to offer it directly to you, the listener, to mull over. Why is ethical thinking important when developing or using AI technologies?
If I were to synthesize everything we've explored today, AI is going to affect all of society. That is no longer a prediction. It is a current reality woven into the fabric of how we learn, communicate, and work.
Absolutely.
But ethical awareness is the only mechanism we have that guarantees transparency, fairness, and human accountability remain the anchor of our future. Without ethical thinking, we simply adapt to whatever the technology dictates.
Right.
With it, we actively guide the technology to serve humanity.
It is the difference between being a passive consumer of the future and an active architect of it. As we finish up, I want to strongly encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready.
Because these platforms are going to keep evolving rapidly.
They are, and your ethical framework needs to be robust enough to evolve right alongside them.
Implementing these concepts in your actual work is the next critical step.
Absolutely. Please make sure you review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. The practical application exercises are how you turn these abstract concepts into that deep professional awareness we've been emphasizing today.
Getting hands-on with the evaluation frameworks is where the real learning happens.
Also, if you are looking to expand your understanding of algorithmic impact and responsible tech, the module recommends a few key texts for further reading. There's Human Compatible, Weapons of Math Destruction, and The Age of AI.
Great books.
Now, while our lesson syllabus didn't supply the specific authors or publication dates for these editions, their titles are highly distinct and easily found through any library or search engine. They are phenomenal, eye-opening resources for understanding the broader societal stakes.
They do an excellent job of breaking down the complex relationships between data, code, and human behavior.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today. It's been a privilege to unpack these essential foundations with you.
Thanks for having me.
As you step back into your digital life, remember that you have an incredibly powerful engine at your fingertips. Just make sure you take the time to map the roads before you hit the gas.